www.edu. Support for NPR comes from this station. And from BritBox, presenting Outrageous, a new BritBox original drama based on the scandal. From Workday, from the sustaining members of this.
This is Hidden Brain. I'm Shankar Vedantam. Victor Strecker is a public health researcher at the University of Michigan. He's the author of Life on Purpose, How Living for What Matters Most Changes Everything. Vic, you say that one of the first steps to finding our purpose is to determine what we value. You suggest people pick a few things from a long list of possibilities. What's on this list?
When people think about their values, it could be values that are like money. It could be appearance. It could be what people think about you. You know, there are a lot of hedonic values, and everybody has those to some extent. But there are also transcending values, self-transcending values, meaning values that are bigger than yourself. So values such as compassion. I really think one of the most moral values to consider is kindness to strangers. We're all kind, probably, or most of us are kind to our family members, our loved ones. But can you be kind to people you don't know? I think that's a very self-transcending value. The things that people value very often aren't things, they're people. But when they're people who go beyond your direct sphere of knowledge, and you can build purposes around that, that's what I would call a truly self-transcending purpose.
You say that once people identify their top values, the top things they care about, they should spend some time thinking about, or better yet, writing about why each value is important to them. Why is this? What does that do?
This is a process we call self-affirmation. So the idea of affirming who you are, when you're affirming your core values, it's almost like you're affirming, these are the roots in my tree, of my tree. This is like the bedrock of who I am. From that, my strengths grow, kind of the trunk of the tree. And from that, my behaviors and my emotions develop and respond, which are almost like the branches of our tree. But I like to start not with the behaviors, but with that root system. And starting with our core values, that is where we build our purpose.
You say that another step is to boil down our values into a statement of purpose, what you call the headstone test. What is the headstone test?
Well, I think the idea is, what would you want people to say about you 100 years from now, 200 years from now? You know, Jonas Salk once said late in his life, we should all be good ancestors. And I love that quote because I think back, you know, I would think back to times I've walked through a cemetery. I love walking through a cemetery, and I love looking at really old headstones and seeing what's on those headstones. But even more importantly, what would be said at your memorial service? What kinds of people would be at your memorial service? What kind of legacy are you leaving? When you start thinking about that, you start then thinking about how you live your life. As I was writing my book, Life on Purpose, the editor gave me really good advice. He said, write your book review first before writing your book. And I said, why? I don't even know what I'm going to write. He said, exactly. I want you to write about what you want people to think and feel as a result of reading your book. And it turned out to be fabulous advice.
I understand that you are working with collaborators to develop an AI system that can help people identify their goals. Tell me about this work.
Well, yeah, we've developed an app called Purposeful, and Purposeful helps identify what your core values are, first of all, and what areas of purpose you want to focus your attention on. It could be your family, it could be your work, it could be the environment, many other things, and you can choose more than one thing, and then it starts identifying areas of growth you'd like to engage in. But importantly, for the last year, we've been working on an AI coach to help you write a purpose statement. Because one of the things we've encountered is so many people have a hard time getting over that hump of actually writing a purpose statement. They say, well, that's too hard. It's going to be too big. It's going to make me stressed out. Or very often, those purpose statements look like Hallmark cards. You know, I want to change the world. I want to help people. They're too vague. It's nice to have an authentic and specific purpose, and the purpose can be in multiple domains, like your work, like your family, like your community, like your own personal growth. You can set goals and set a purpose around each of those domains. So to make a statement that's specific motivates you, and it actually motivates you to take better care of yourself.
One essential component of pursuing, a purpose-driven life is to not spend a lot of time on things that are not aligned with that purpose. Can you talk about this, that it's not just following what we should care about, but it's also not following what we shouldn't care about?
I wonder if we did a time motion study of everybody's lives and could parse out the part that really matters a lot to us and the part that really doesn't matter to us that we're doing just due to habit. Maybe there's social media engagements that don't really matter. Maybe I am worried about what Kim Kardashian is wearing today. Whatever those things are, you have to stop and ask yourself, are these really important to me? Are these important to my purpose and my goals that I've set in my life? Are they important to my core values? And I would guess that a large portion of our time is spent engaged in things that are not all that important. Now, sometimes you need downtime. Sometimes you do need to just chill out and do something or watch something that may be meaningless. I understand that. But at the same time, how much effort do we spend on those activities?
So I understand some time ago you were somewhat obsessed with frequent flyer miles. Was this connected to your purpose, Vic?
You know, as a public health professional, I was traveling around the world a lot, and I started, you know, counting my frequent flyer miles, which is certainly a goal, right? How many frequent flyer miles? I want to get to this status. I want to get to this status. And finally, I started realizing, wow, I'm going to go to my grave with the number of frequent flyer miles on my headstone. It'll just say, he got palladium status. He got to fly the plane. He got to dance with the flight attendants. He got to play any music he wanted, you know, things like that. And I thought, oh my God, this is maybe not what I wanted in my headstone.
How did you switch off from that habit?
After a while, I tried to be a researcher of myself. And I hope everybody listening to this may think, can I become a better researcher of myself? And all that means is carefully observing your life and what matters to you, what you're spending your time on, what you're spending your time thinking about, what you're obsessed with. Are those the right things to be obsessed with? And some of them may well be, and some of them may well not be. And then you have to say, my life is very finite. I'm here for this very brief time on this planet, an infinitely brief time. And what am I going to do with that brief time? Am I going to really spend a lot of time on social media or watching a lot of TV that I really don't care about? Or spending my time in arguments or spending my time listening to things that I have no control over? Maybe I do have control over certain things. I have some agency over certain things. Maybe I can make a difference in this world during this brief time that I'm here. Maybe I can leave a legacy. Maybe I can be a good ancestor.
I'm wondering what you think your daughter Julia would make of the way that you have lived your life since she passed away, Vic.
I try to live my life in a way that Julia would have wanted me to live my life. Very often when I turn to her, what should I do? How would you recommend I make this decision? And it's very helpful. In that way, I think Julia is still living through me.